What I'm impressed with is looking at the Apostle Paul. You read that short little letter to Philemon. Here he was, an apostle that commanded respect wherever he went. God worked through him in a mighty way. You know the story. The slave ran away from his master and came and was with Paul. And Paul was, in this letter, sending the slave back to his former master. And they're all Christians. And he's pleading in this letter saying, you know, I could tell you what to do, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not pulling rank here. I just want you to know how much your former slave has meant to me in the ministry. And I just hope that you can receive him back, not as a slave, but as a fellow brother. You read that short letter. Here you have an apostle, instead of pulling rank, that shepherd's heart is coming through because he wants to see healing in the relationships. A prophet can minister and tune into many great and wonderful things and speak words that are true, but without the shepherd's heart, what are people brought into? What are they led into? Take a teacher, can bring wonderful words of teaching. Again, all true doctrine, true theory. You can explain what the word means in the Greek and the Hebrew, and on and on. But unless there's a shepherd's heart, it's all information and not spiritual food. An evangelist can go out, round the people up, gather them together. For what? The shepherd's heart is what ministers the good news about who the Lord is to people. Without that, it can be just a matter of people collecting. Should we talk about the pastor, or should I skip that? I don't want to incriminate myself here, but how about the role of a pastor? A pastor can be an administrator, good or bad. A pastor can be a babysitter, a problem solver, a lot of different things. But it's the shepherd's heart that really makes the ministry effective. It's the shepherd's heart that leads the people to take the steps of growth that are before them. Otherwise, a pastor can be very effective at taking care of a church and having everybody in their place. But the question is, are people growing in the Lord? And you can't administrate that. That's something that comes from the heart of the Father. So you see, with all the ministries and all that takes place, it's a shepherd's heart that brings about growth. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We can have love. And when I mention shepherd's heart, probably the first thing you think of is love, right? To be shepherded means to be loved by God, and that's true. But not all love leads to growth. And that quality of shepherding that's from the Father is a love with a purpose. It brings forth the purposes of God, growth in Christ. And that's really what we're after. We all know about love that we can care very deeply about certain situations or people, and it may not bring about fruit or growth. You know the word codependence, right? You can be very loving in a situation, and yet you find yourself getting trapped in that drama, codependent to the problem that's going on. Not helpful to that person, and certainly not helping yourself. Remember Jesus when he would heal. I remember at least one occasion, before he worked the miracle, he turned to the person and said, "Do you want to be well?" Something to that effect. Why would he say something like that? Of course the person wanted to be well. Well, Jesus knew that that shepherd's heart that he had, it was the love of God being expressed, but it would forever change that person's life. Up to that point, that person identified as being a victim. Of course, all they probably thought about was getting over their illness. But what they didn't think about is how that would change their life. Because of that disability, they were getting sympathy from a lot of people. They didn't have to take a lot of responsibilities. They couldn't. And when Jesus touched that life and said, "Now you're well," there'd be a whole new identity that would have to form, a whole new way of relating to themselves. So you see, when God manifests his love, when there's that quality of shepherding, you're not standing still. It's not just a blessing that you take in and go nowhere with. It's always a love that propels you forward into growth, into changes, into new territory. Psalm 23, you remember, you know what that one's all about? Lord is my shepherd. It's how this shepherd's heart impacts us. And you can read this later, but what's important, it starts out, the Lord is my shepherd. And in order for us to receive this quality in our relationships, We have to be in a place of being aware of and receiving it from the Lord Himself. And unless we have that, then we're going to expect other people to be to us more than they can be. And this often happens in the church setting. You get a ministry and people say, well, that's my shepherd. Be careful. That person can be expressing the wisdom of God, the love of God. But if you're not relating to the Lord first, you're going to be very disappointed at some point with that person. And it's not just their fault or what they do wrong. We have to be connected to the head in order for us to receive the shepherding spirit in a right way through others in our life. Unless we can relate to the unseen, and when I say unseen, I mean what our senses can't grasp. The Lord Himself is spirit. But unless we can relate to the unseen Lord in the spirit, we're not going to see the fruit in our lives from that shepherding. So let's look at this. The Lord is my shepherd. First and foremost, I shall not want. Does that mean that God gives you everything you want? Well, I think it means that you're going to be content and not be in that constant state of need of having to have more. That shepherding brings that contentment. It causes me to lie down in green pastures. Green, what are pastures for? To feed. Again, shepherding opens the door for feeding. But how do you feed? In a state of frenzy or anxiety? No, when there's that shepherding coming through, there's also the rest and the peace. He leads me beside waters of rest. Again, the rest. Restores my soul. All the battles we have in our own soul nature, in our mind, in our emotions, that shepherding quality brings a restoration, a healing. Guides me in the paths of righteousness. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. These are wonderful things. Again, coming through that authority, that presence, delivers us from our fears. We have that sense of God being with us. Thou preparest a table before me in the midst of my enemies. When you're being shepherded by the Lord, it doesn't mean you don't face enemies or battles. It means they don't swallow you up. That shepherding heart makes you aware of the table of God that's set before you. Yeah, in the midst of your enemies, but what are you doing? You're eating off God's table. You're able to feed and grow and bear fruit. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. Biggest problem we have in this life is right between these two ears. That's our greatest enemy, our own thinking. And the true shepherding spirit brings by the anointing of God to renew us in our minds, our head with oil, bringing us into the mind of Christ so we come into that life of overflowing. So this is such a valuable ministry, and we can have it in our relationships. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament, to a little bit of history here, so you got to be alert for this. Jeremiah chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 34, both deal with the shepherd's heart. The time that they were written, Jeremiah ministered about 100 years after Isaiah. I know you guys know all this, but just let me reiterate. Why is this important? Well, during the time of Isaiah, you remember that there was an attempt to take Jerusalem by the Assyrians, capture Jerusalem. And Isaiah 37 deals with it. It's a beautiful chapter dealing with King Hezekiah. God delivered Israel at that point. During Jeremiah's time is when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. And the northern tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, had long since fallen to the Assyrians. We're talking about the two tribes that are left of Judah and where the capital of Jerusalem was. When Jeremiah was prophesying, that's the time that Jerusalem had fallen. Ezekiel prophesied in the same time frame, 5 years before Jerusalem fell, and about 15 years after. So these books deal very heavily with judgments. Israel had fallen into captivity. God is saying, this is why it happened. Your disobedience. You're not open to me. You're not doing what I wanted you to do. And in the midst of these prophecies, both Jeremiah and Ezekiel, there are prophecies of hope of a new future, a new day where the remnant of God would be restored. And in Jeremiah 13, and I'll just read this to you, and you can read it later. He says, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. Ezekiel 34. Now again, these words are coming to people that are in captivity, that have disobeyed God. And chapter 34 is a whole word in and of itself in Ezekiel. We'll go there another time. But God says in verse 31, as for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, I am your God, declares the Lord God. Both times God is saying, I'm going to restore you, and for this to happen, I'm going to give you shepherds after my own heart. Now, we're in a time of restoration, are we not? Being restored from the level of the flesh, of the human soul, of all the bondage we've been in. God's restoring us to our place of abiding in him, to the mind of Christ, to who we really are in him. In this process of God restoring, the shepherd's heart has a very prominent and necessary role. God gives his heart, and those that are open to it, the shepherding comes through for that healing, that deliverance, that restoration to take place. Now, our faith determines to a large extent whether we receive the shepherd's heart through one another. Is that what we're looking for? Everybody here is looking for blessing. I have no question about that. We all want to be blessed. We all want to be happy. But that's not the issue. Are we really looking to be shepherded? Because remember, we are certainly blessed by a shepherd's heart. But a shepherd's heart is not about simply blessing, but it's about growth. So we all welcome God blessing our circumstances and answering our prayers and solving our problems. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're saying, God, I want to grow, I want to change, I want your will to be done. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:2, if to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you. And the reason I'm bringing this verse out is Paul was not an apostle to everybody, only those that believed in the ministry that was there. So when we talk about ministries, it's not an automatic thing. It's a matter of where is our faith. And if our faith, if we're looking at the ministries and people around us and we are believing that God's heart, the shepherd's heart, is available, our faith activates that spirit for our lives. Turn with me to John chapter 10, and this is where we will finish today. Very beautiful chapter dealing with the shepherd's heart. In this chapter, we'll read about thieves, robbers, hirelings, and Jesus refers to them as basically the ones that try to come in some other way to get to the sheep. And when he's speaking of thieves, robbers, and hirelings, he's really referring to the Jewish leaders at the time, the religious leaders, because all you have to do is turn back to chapter 9 and what went on in that chapter. You know what John 9 deals with, the blind man that was healed and how the Pharisees were having such problems with it and trying to discount the miracle and discredit the Lord. And here this blind man is saying, I don't know what you guys are talking about. All I know is I was blind, now I can see. And it's a beautiful chapter dealing with the tension between that whole religious, self-righteous spirit and the true spirit of the Lord. Now, in the 10th chapter, he's addressing this whole relationship of the shepherd with the sheep. He's talking about thieves and robbers and hirelings. And basically, he's talking about any other way but the Father's way to get through to the sheep. And he says, verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Who is the door? Verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. Basically, in the religious spirit, there can be many different ways they presented to the people. And the Pharisees would say, the way to God is by obeying this law we give you. And of course, no matter how hard the people tried, the law could never bring them to God and they could never obey it. Jesus is explaining to the people that are listening, saying, there's only one way. I am that door. It's only through me that you'll find the Father. Everything else is false. And these religious leaders that are telling you to do this and do that, they're not taking you anywhere. They're not taking you to the Father. And in this hour, there's many different theories, opinions, and different ways people are trying to approach God. The whole Tower of Babel goes on continually from the soul of man, trying to build something in a religious way to make God real. Yet the shepherding and that spirit is a revelation to people. There's only one way, and that's through what the Son has done for us, his sacrifice for us. It's not what our mind conjures up. It's not through some self-righteous religious image or our own efforts. It's through the sacrifice, the blood of Christ. That's the doorway to the Father. Jesus is the door by which God shepherds us. That's how that spirit is real. Now in verse 3 it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Such a beautiful picture of how God relates to this in this shepherd-sheep relationship. In Palestine at the time these words were spoken, sheep herding was a big business concern, whatever you want to call it, that was very popular. And at night, many different flocks would come together in what they would call a fold. It was an area where they would sleep at night, and there was generally a big stone walls where they were protected. The morning, the different shepherds would go out, and they would call to their sheep. And the flocks would separate from each other simply by the voice of the shepherd. They would recognize and respond to his voice only. What a beautiful picture. The shepherd would not drive the sheep from the rear. He would go out before them and lead them to a new area where they could graze. What a picture of how God relates to us and what the shepherd's heart is all about. Of all the voices, every one of us has the ability to recognize the voice of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, it's so hard to hear his voice. No, you're relating through your head. In your head, you have many voices saying many different things. Unfortunately, that's the way our mind is. This is the voice of your heart and spirit. There is one voice that you can discern above all those other voices, the voice of the Lord speaking to you to lead you out. And the voice of the Lord does not drive you from behind. That's what legalism will do. The law, many times a lot of leaders get in that position. They feel they have to drive the people, got to beat them into submission. We got to hit them over the head with the Bible and get them to do the right thing. That's not the way of the Spirit. The true shepherd, as it says here, always went before the sheep. Jesus is an example going before you. He's drawing you by his love, not driving you out of fear. And where is he drawing you to? Pasture, where you can feed. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Take the time to recognize the voice. It's so important to be able to hear and to know the voice of the Lord. It's not something apart from you. Each of us have it. Just like the sheep, all the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. We have that within our own hearts too. As he leads us out, he's creating space for us to grow. That's what the shepherd's heart is all about. We want to stay in our pens. And you know, the human ego tends to confine, doesn't it? And you can tell when someone's not moving with a shepherd's heart, someone that has authority, what they'll do is they'll try to confine you, keep you in your place. How do we confine one another? Well, we do it with our opinions, our judgments, our criticisms. The way we think about one another, we try to lock each other in, our expectations for one another. Now again, think about your relationships. When we're relating to one another in this way, I expect you to be a certain way, these are my judgments, these are my criticisms, we're just creating walls and we're confining. Shepherd's heart is the exact opposite. Without the mental opinions and judgments and criticisms, it says, I break down the walls. I create space for you to grow and become who you are. That's the heart we're to have in our relationships. Why do we stay confined? Well, sometimes I think it's just fear of what's out there. You know, you heard the expression, a good defense often is a good offense. You know what? There's no greater immunity than to follow the shepherd as he's leading you to the green pastures, leading you to the life you're meant to live. Well, there's wolves out there. There's things that can get me. Well, where is our attack? Where are those wolves? In our head, right? Don't they work in our mind? So if we stay confined by our own fears and say, I'm not venturing out, what we're saying is I'm being confined here by my own fear, my own ego, my own doubts in my head. And that's where all the battle is. That's where all the accusations are. That's where that voice of the wolf is. Where is our immunity? To get out of our head, to get out of our ego, to get out of the little boxes that we've built for ourselves, and follow Jesus Christ into those green pastures where we can grow and change and become what he wants. There's our immunity. Verse 18. Jesus is talking about what it means to be a shepherd. No one has taken away my life from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He didn't lay down his life to become one with the Father. He laid down his life for us because he was one with the Father. The response of anyone that really knows God is going to be a sacrificial giving of him or herself for others. The laying down of our self life, taking up our cross. When we say we welcome the voice of the shepherd, Jesus, lead us on, we're also saying we welcome the sacrifice he made, the work of the cross. And in a sense, we're welcoming the work of the cross in our own lives. That's why I said earlier, everybody wants to be blessed, but not everybody wants to be shepherded. Because to say I want to be shepherded and led into those green pastures and to grow means we're saying, Lord, I'm willing to take up my cross daily as you did in laying down your life for the sheep. If I'm open to that spirit of who you are, then I'm open to that same work of the cross within me. What gets crossed? Well, when God begins to shepherd our lives more and more and we allow that element of shepherding in our relationships, our will gets crossed, our thinking gets crossed, our plans get crossed. Why? Because we're being shepherded into growth and change. And how can we change and grow unless the work of the cross is taking place in our life? Unless our ego is being crossed. Question is, do we want only the blessings from God, or do we want to be blessed in growing in him? I think it's we want to be blessed in growing in him. And in verse 16, what's this all about? In the end, Jesus said, they shall hear my voice, they shall become one flock with one shepherd. This is what God's doing in the body. A lot of different denominations, a lot of different approaches, a lot of different mindsets about who God is and what he's doing. And wherever you go, you're going to get different theory, different doctrine. But the truth is, if we respond to the spirit of the shepherd, we're going to be one flock under one shepherd. And that's going to be the power of God through his people in the earth. When people can look and they see one shepherd, Jesus Christ, and a flock in oneness under the head, God will be fully manifest. Heaven will be manifest on this earth. Let's stand. The shepherd's heart, the spirit within our lives, within those that we care for, our brothers, our sisters, our families. Help us to be aware that this ministry is available to us if we so choose. And Lord, the cry of your heart has been that there be shepherds after your own heart, taking care of your sheep. May we enter into that, to allow that authority be manifest through us and to us. We believe for the true shepherding, Lord, to take place in this day and age, that healing can be manifest in the body of Christ, not just physical, but emotional and mental, and where people have experienced toxic situations in church, they can be healed of all those things because they know the shepherd's heart is alive to them and real to them. One flock with one shepherd is our cry, Lord. Amen. Bless one another.